So if you would, please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. I have been here at Victory Baptist Church for 11 years, and I know, I don't look that old, but I've been here for 11 years now, and the more that I'm here, the more that I realize, just so you can see that right there, I realize how great of a pastor we have. I realize more and more how much it takes to be a pastor, how much it takes to be the shepherd of the church, to feed the flock, to be the caretaker and the one who is responsible to the Lord to lead and direct the church, and have appreciated the teaching, the instructing, the mentoring that Pastor Taylor has done for me. And I do not take it lightly when I get the opportunity to preach, because to stand behind this pulpit and to preach at the Victory Baptist Church, where Pastor Taylor has been the pastor here for 30 years now, is a very high responsibility and shoes that I cannot fill. So thank you for entertaining me today and listening to me, even though I haven't even begun to preach, but thank you for giving me your attention. I say that now because you may not want to say that afterwards. So, but we're going to be looking in the book of Numbers chapter 21, beginning at verse number 4. Numbers chapter 21, beginning at verse number 4, it says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread.' And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for the people of Victory Baptist Church. Thank you for our pastor, Pastor Taylor and Mrs. Taylor. Thank you for their faithfulness to the church, faithfulness to the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that they have been not just our pastor and pastor's wife, but our friend. And Lord, I pray that as we continue to worship in this church, Lord, we know that the church is yours, that you are really the one in control and has the authority of the church. We pray that we would glorify you today. And Lord, I pray that as I preach this morning, that you would be with my words, be with my thoughts. Lord, help me to accurately convey the truths of this text. And I pray that the words that I say would not be my words, but that they would be guided by the Holy Spirit today. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is "Look Unto Him." The people of the children of Israel have at this point been wandering through the wilderness for a number of years, for a long period of time, and we have seen that they have murmured and murmured and murmured against the Lord, and this is not any different than some of those other passages of Scripture. And as they're journeying by the mount, from the Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, to kind of go around the land of Edom, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. As I looked at what that idea was of the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, it really had the idea of that the way was treacherous, the way was difficult, whether it was difficult because it was unstable, whether it was difficult because it was maybe uphill or up the mountain, or maybe the way was difficult because of the intense heat or because of the, as we read a little bit later, the manna that they had, their soul loathed it. As I read a little bit more into that, it had the idea that it's not necessarily a bread that gives you much nutrients. And so they, for whatever reason, the way was difficult. And they complained because the way was difficult. And can I just be perfectly honest with you that the way of the Christian life is not always easy. The way of the Christian life is sometimes difficult. And the way of the Christian life sometimes causes us to complain and murmur against the Lord. Have you ever heard and really listened to the word murmur? You know, murmur, murmur. Murmur, murmur, murmur. That's what it sounds like. So when you think of the word murmur, it's that idea of murmuring or complaining against the Lord. I don't like this way because it's difficult. I don't like this manna because it's not to my taste. I don't like, whatever. Murmur, murmur. My children, my daughter, being 5 years old, I am learning the understanding of the word murmur because she, I don't want to eat that. I don't care. Eat it. Or whatever. You know? Murmuring. And so, doesn't that make you thirsty? Doesn't that make you thirsty? I have another cup right here. Somebody thought I was really, really, really thirsty when I preached, and so now I have two. I have two cups. That's the backup, okay? So, I'm sorry. So, they're murmuring against the Lord because of the way that is treacherous. The soul of the people, the soul of the people was much discouraged. Well, that kind of brings the intensity a little bit more. Their soul is discouraged. Their soul is discouraged. Now they forgot how God had provided them previously through some of their other murmurings. And so they murmur against the Lord. They're discouraged because of the way. And then the people speak against God and against Moses. And they say, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? I looked up what it had the idea. I looked up that phrase, ye have brought us up out of Egypt for us to die in the way. Did you know that the children of Israel said that to Moses four times? Said that to Moses four times as they wandered through the wilderness. Did you know that this is one of the last times that they said that? They said, you've brought us up out of the way of Egypt for us to die in this wilderness. And so they complain against the Lord, and Moses is responding to this, and they say, why? They say, there is no bread, and there is no water, and our soul loatheth this light bread, or this manna. Somebody tell me, what does the word loathe mean? What does the word to loathe mean? What's that? To really dislike? Martin? Yeah. What's that? To despise. I despise this bread. The provision that God had given them to sustain their life, they were despising. You know, sometimes the Lord gives us exactly what we need. You read that in the book of either Proverbs or Psalms. The Bible teaches us that give me today what I need, lest I vomit it out. Meaning, he doesn't give you too much, he gives you exactly what you need. And sometimes we despise what God brings our way for provision. We don't understand it. We don't understand. We say, well, this is not fair. I need more than this. And Jesus is really saying, God is really saying, no, you don't. You need exactly what I can give to you. But they murmured against the Lord, and their soul loathed it. They extremely despised it. And so what is God's response? In verse number 6, it says, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. I looked up what the idea of the fiery serpent had the idea of, and it was either labeled fiery because of the color of the serpent. Has anybody ever seen a very colorful serpent slithering through the whatever? I have not and don't care to. But I have heard that there are very beautiful snakes out there. And when they slither through, you may not, you know, it may look fiery to you or whatever. I was reading something else that said it may be fiery serpent because of the intensity of the poison. When it bit you, you inflamed with a fever right away. The pain, the excruciating pain was upon you as that fiery serpent bit you. I was reading a book. I get this all confused. If it's written about somebody by somebody else, it's called a biography. Or an autobiography. A biography. Thank you. I went to college. I really did. So it was a story about a Native American boy. A Native American boy who had lost their parents and was adopted by his grandparents. And he would fish for catfish or whatever kind of fish. And the way that he would do that is by laying on the ground and sticking his hand into the cave or into the home of the fish and grabbing it out of there. That's how they fish for catfish, correct, John? Not the way we do it. So, Pastor said that's true. Some people do fish that way. But anyways, I have never tried it. This little boy was laying on his belly to get fish out of the home that they were in, and as he heard something in the rustling beside him, and as he looked over, he saw a rattlesnake staring him in the face. Knowing that it was a rattlesnake and that it was poisonous, he didn't move. He just stayed there. Grandpa was a little bit farther away. The boy didn't tell him where he was going. Knowing that that rattlesnake was going to strike him in the face, he just stayed there. And along comes Grandpa. How did he know? Sometimes you just have that intuition. I need to go check on somebody. He come up to the little boy, saw the rattlesnake, very slowly put his hand between the face of that boy and the rattlesnake. His name was Little Tree. That's what they called him, Little Tree. If you want to call me by my Native American name, it's Mighty Warrior, okay? You think that's a joke? I'm offended. So he put his hand between Little Tree's face and the snake. And the snake lunged and bit the grandpa's hand. And within minutes, started to swell because of the poison in the man's hand. Now, the rest of the story has an amazing story about how the grandmother came, healed him by all kinds of weird things that was going on. Whether that was true or not, I don't know. But the story's pretty phenomenal. And the bite of the fiery serpent, if you look at the verse number 6, it says, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. They died because of the snake bites. Have you ever watched the old westerns where someone gets bit by a snake and they grab the leg and they suck the poison out and spit it on the ground? Oh, I thought that was like real. Like you really could save someone's life by doing that. Anybody ever done that before? No. Why would you? Why would you do that? And so he said that some of them died. And then verse number 7, the people said and came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. So we see the people repenting. We are clearly, Moses, we have sinned and we're sorry. Please pray unto the Lord for us because we have done that which was wrong in the eyes of God. Pray for us that we would not die anymore, but that they would take away the serpents. And that's a very important thing for you to know, is that they prayed for God to take away the serpent. Verse number 8, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I'm sorry, yeah, verse number 8, it said, the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh up upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So what did God not do based upon the request of the people of Israel? What was their request? To take away the serpents. And what did God do instead? He said, make a serpent. He didn't take away the serpent from them. Find that very interesting, because the extreme pain of the bite, that means those people, when they knew they were wrong, they still, even though they repented, they still experienced the consequences of their sin. That's important for us to know. Because sometimes we pray to the Lord, God, take this away from me. This is too much for me to carry. And instead, he doesn't take it away, but rather he makes a solution for us to deal with it. You see, that's really important for you and I in our Christian lives, because not always does God take away the pain out of our lives. The teenagers, I have really been trying to let them know and help them to understand that sometimes we live life with pain in it, whether that's physical pain or whether it's emotional pain, financial pain, whether it's, you could put any kind of name on it. And we pray, God, please, please take this away from me. And God doesn't. Why? Well, because God maybe has made another way for you to deal with it. But why is that significant? Why is that significant? Why is it significant that the people, it didn't just take the serpents away from them? Why is it significant that he told Moses to put a fiery a serpent on a pole and put it out in the middle so that everybody could see it? Why is that significant? This is what I've done, and this is what, and then the solution is to look unto him. To look unto him. You see, it was God telling them, you know, listen, I want you to remember, how many times had they said, you've brought us up out of the wilderness just to kill us? How many times? Four. This is the fourth time. You've brought us up out of the wilderness to kill us, God, or Moses. Well, probably God too. They knew Moses was God's right-hand man, and so they're probably saying even to God, you brought us out of the wilderness to kill us. How dare you do that to us? And God is saying, no. Look unto me. Look unto me. There's going to be pain in our lives. There's going to be difficult times. And some of those people who were not bitten in the beginning may have gotten bitten later on, but because of the serpent on the pole in the middle of them, could look unto him and know that Jesus, God, is going to help me. He's going to heal me from this bite. Now, it didn't mean that all of a sudden it was going to be like a brand new piece of leg or a brand new piece of arm or a brand new piece of whatever. I mean, when you get cut really bad, you get a scar. Sometimes those scars remind us. I have a couple of scars on my hands. This particular one, I know exactly what I was doing, what I didn't do right, and how I got that scar. I have a scar on my knee right here, and I remember exactly what I was doing. Can't remember how old I was because it was a long time ago. But I remember I was riding a bike, and I thought it would be a great idea to go over a jump that me and my friends made out of cinder blocks and plywood. You've already gone ahead of me. Don't steal the ending of the story for me. Okay, fine. Yes, I crashed, and the handlebar went right in my knee, and now I have a scar there. And so, where am I going? Oh, it was a remembrance of their sin that they had done. And so God says, look unto me and I will heal you. Look unto me and I will heal you. God doesn't take away the serpents. God allows them to go through the pain. When the people were bit, they looked up to God and they were healed. But you know what? We find this passage of Scripture in another place of the Bible. Stick your finger right in Numbers chapter 21 and turn over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He is a very educated, religious man, really without Jesus, though. And Jesus is speaking to him, and he says in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I want to just draw a couple of correlations here between this Old Testament passage and the New Testament passage. In the Old Testament passage, who are the people that Moses is addressing here at this point? The Israelites, God's people, who were supposed to have a relationship with Jesus, with God. They were supposed to have a relationship with God. Who is Jesus speaking to in this passage? Nicodemus. Nicodemus called himself a religious leader, tried to tell people he was a follower of Jesus Christ. Do you see the correlation? God's people, a religious person who said he was a follower of Jesus Christ. But not only that, I want to draw your attention to the disease. The disease that was found in the Old Testament is the bite of the serpent. The serpent's bite caused what? Caused pain and then even death. I want to draw your attention and make the correlation to the disease that we find in the New Testament. The disease that we find here is that of sin. Sin without Jesus Christ brings death. What kind of death am I talking about here? Because we all sin. I'm sure some of us sinned this morning on our way to church or before we got in the car to go to church or whatever. I'm sure some of us sinned this morning and we're not dead. What do I mean by that? Death means separation from God. Separation from God. The disease brings death. Separation from God. Not only that, but I want to draw your attention to the remedy. The remedy found in the Old Testament was God told Moses, make a fiery serpent, put it on a pole, set it in the midst of everybody so that if they were bitten by it, they could look upon it and live. The remedy for us in the New Testament is Jesus Christ, just like that, had to be put on a cross, hung between two thieves. There's a cross right behind here. He was put on the cross, hung between two thieves. The sin, the disease of the world was put on him so that if you and I were to just look unto him, ask him to be our Savior, he would what? Save us. He would heal us from the disease that infects us. Now, it doesn't take it away. I was just listening to a pastor who was speaking yesterday at a conference that I was at, and he had talked about receiving Christ as his Savior when he was 18 and he was in college, and his goal when he got to college was to drink, party, and have sex with as many people as he could. That was his goal. And then when he got saved, all those miraculously went away. No. It didn't. He struggled with that. God doesn't necessarily take the pain away. We still have to deal with it. But now, if someone has received Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have someone they can look unto and they can live because he can heal them from their sins. Do you know what it's like to have a really nasty cut, have it become infected, and then for you to scrape out that infection and to put healing balm in it? Now, it scars, right? Oftentimes, if you have to open up a wound to heal it, to clean it out, it oftentimes scars. But it's healed. It's healed. So it's the same way with us in our lives, you guys. Same way with us in our lives. We have sin, and sometimes it causes really massive cuts. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes we got to dig that out of there. We got to go in there and open it up. I was listening to a pastor, and I'll be done in just a few minutes. I was listening to a pastor back in college. He was the campus pastor of the church there. His name was Jim Shetler, and he was preaching about this same idea of cleaning out the wound, and he had talked about how he had fallen. He had skid himself on his leg, whether it was road rash because of his bike or something like that, and it got really, really infected, and he had to go and he had to scrape off all the stuff that was healing already right there because it was actually infected. He had to scrape all that off, put, what do you normally put in there? ointment, peroxide. Someone said alcohol. You got to pour something in there to clean it. And it caused excruciating pain. It wasn't fun. It hurt like the dickens. But then it healed. And it healed the right way. The remedy is Jesus. The remedy is Jesus. Look unto him and live. Look unto Jesus and live. There was no other way. Moses didn't say, this is one way, and then this is the other way. Can I just speculate here that I'm sure there are some people in this passage of Scripture in the Old Testament of Numbers 21 that there, I'm sure, were some people after they were bitten by that snake, they tried another way to heal themselves, right? Maybe they said, hey, honey, come over here, suck this poison out of me, or something like that. Or maybe they grabbed some kind of healing leaves and tried to place it upon the part that was bitten, and there was no other way. This was the only way. You know what the Bible teaches us in the New Testament? There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. Folks, can I just be transparent with you? We try to heal the hurt. We try to fix the pain. We try to do everything we physically know how to take away the pain, but we are forgetting the actual remedy, and it's Jesus. We try to fill it with relationships. We try to fill it with money. We try to fill it with substances. We try to fill it with materialistic things, and there is nothing that can heal it, but Jesus can. Jesus can heal. Jesus can save. Look unto him. Please bow your heads and close your eyes as we come to the end of the service this morning. I just, thinking about this and preaching through this, and I relate that I try to do all these things in my own strength, or I try to fix all these things in my own strength, and I just can't. We can't do it. You cannot get to heaven without Jesus Christ. You cannot get there without receiving Christ as your Savior. You cannot heal yourself from your sin without Jesus Christ. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning, you say, you know what, Brother John, I have never trusted Christ as my Savior. I've never called unto Jesus to be my Savior. I've never looked unto him. In a few moments, we're going to give you an opportunity where you can do that. There are going to be some people up front here that if you need to talk with somebody to receive Christ as your Savior, they will make themselves available to talk with you. Maybe, Christian, you're here and you're saying to yourself, you know what, I keep trying to fix the healing by all kinds of other things, by relationships or by materialistic things. I need Jesus. And if that's you, the altar is open this morning for you to come and to pray, to look unto Jesus. Father, thank you for this time that you've given to us. Thank you for the attention of the people. Lord, thank you that you give us this opportunity where we can come to you. We can look and we can live. We can look unto you and we can live. I pray that if there's anybody here this morning that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, they've never called upon them, on Jesus, to be their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they would do that. And I pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Would you please stand, and together we're going to lift up our voices.